Let's talk about migration. As old as mankind and as hot a political potato as it gets around the world, also here in Germany. Friedrich Merz, whose party, the Conservatives, won the February elections in this country, wants a migration turnaround, a Migrationswende. That's what he said before the election after a number of attacks in several German cities. Let's listen in.
If I
get elected as Chancellor on day one of my tenure, I will instruct the Interior Ministry to impose permanent border controls with all our neighbors.
Dauerhaft zu kontrollieren.
And to refuse all attempts at illegal entry.
Now, not all of these crimes that Friedrich Merz referred to would have been prevented if Germany had had stricter border rules at the time. But now Merz has indeed won the elections and reality is biting. He can't govern alone. He needs a coalition partner. So he's ruled out working together with a far-right AfD, which is now the second strongest force in this country because of the extremist views held by some of their members. And he's instead now trying to form a coalition with the Social Democrats, so the party of outgoing Chancellor Olaf Scholz. These two used to be the big tent parties here, but not anymore. And one big reason why both of them have lost voters to the more extreme sides on both the left and the right is the polarization caused by how both parties have been handling migration. Polls regularly see a vast majority of Germans calling for a turnaround to stop or limit the number of people arriving in this country. So, will the next German government, once it's been formed, act tougher on migration? That's our Berlin briefing for you today. We'll talk scope of the challenge, reasons for the tough debate, current controversies and some likely outcomes. And with me here in the studio is Bernd Rieger, DW's senior political correspondent. You used to be in Brussels, Bernd, so a lot of EU expertise there because, of course, EU rules play a very, very big role when it comes to the German migration debate as well. And over on the line is David Kipp, who is a researcher with SWP Think Tank. Tank, a migration policy expert. So let's start with you, Bernd. Let's be first clear. What types of migration are we talking about when it comes to migration to Germany? Can you just give us a brief idea? I want to talk numbers later, but let's talk about the groups first.
Yeah, who is showing up at the German border, actually, and who can be returned, who cannot be returned? First of all, there are skilled workers, migrants that the economy and that the society wants, people that have a job already, come to Germany and then work here, pay into the system and are no burden to anybody. Then you have migrants that have no job but want to work in Germany. They might enter irregularly because they don't have a visa or something. They just come because the hardship in their own country, so they are more or less economic migrants. Then you have the asylum seekers, people that flee persecution, torture, something like that. This is what actually is the core of the asylum right. And then you have, and this is the majority actually, people fleeing civil war or wars in their home country, like Syrians, people from Afghanistan, who get protection under the UN Convention, temporary protection, so they don't have to be granted asylum. This is a different category. So there are lots of these people. And everybody who claims asylum at the border today has the right to be taken into a procedure. He cannot be returned. It's legally and technically not possible yet. So we will see if the new Merz government will change that.
Yeah, and we don't want to talk about those skilled workers that you mentioned today, Bernd. We can do a whole new episode about that at some point. Now we want to talk about those other people, people who come to Germany because either they seek protection because they're being persecuted in their home countries or for whatever other reason they have a right, like you said, to stay in Germany, or other people who are just hoping for a better life. And actually, we've got a soundbite from the current Interior Minister, Nancy Faeser, from the Social Democrats, who summed up the challenge that she sees when we're talking about how to get control of migration into this country. Let's listen in.
One thing is the individual right to asylum when someone is politically persecuted and has the right to seek asylum with us. I don't think there are any major discussions about this in Germany, that this case, which doesn't occur very often, must be guaranteed. The other thing is big migration movements and the fact that states abuse that. Globally, some states exploit migration. Just look at the pressure from Belarus to Poland. Look at what Russia has done to Finland. We need more effective protection of our external borders because this gets used as a means to destabilize states. And then there's the question, what can we in Europe achieve together in terms of the right to asylum, to curb irregular migration? It's not a contradiction. All of this goes together.
So, David, you, as somebody who has a very good understanding of numbers and has been observing the trends over recent decades, Nancy Faeser was speaking at a press conference earlier this week here in this building, actually, downstairs. And do you think that the numbers that you see reflect this positive assessment of her own government's policies?
Acting Minister of Interior Faeser pointed out, you know, that numbers are actually not increasing. And she also pointed out other, in her eyes, successful elements of her time as Minister of Interior and the whole government. And in fact, not everything is as bad as you might think. There are some successes. So, of course, always the question, how do you measure success? There's also already rejections at the German land border of people who don't say they're looking for asylum. So this is already happening. She also pointed to that. But of course, we tend to focus too much on the national dimension of the whole thing. You know, we're talking about German land borders. In fact, for more than 20 years, we have a common European asylum system. And we have seen 8 years of tough negotiations where at the end there was consensus on, you know, reforming some of the rules. And this is also something that the Minister of Interior pointed out. And she says, you know, let's stay course. And I think this was also a message to the future coalition partner, the CDU, which wants a drastic turnaround. And this is probably why she presented some of the numbers that in her eyes speak a different language. And you could go more into details and talk about, you know, why, where does this whole debate come from? Then, of course, it's also, as you pointed out in your introduction, bound to some of the really terrible violent attacks in the run-up to the election. And this led to the polarization. And of course, also, when you look at different communes and local districts in Germany, there's, in some places, you know, the structures are overburdened. And this is probably why we have this debate. And it is, you know, good to point to the challenges. She also did that. But she also said there are already stricter controls and there's already restrictions that helped curb asylum numbers. And she's correct there.
So, Ben, let's talk about those numbers. So in 2024, some 251,000 people applied for asylum in Germany, and that is not including the number of refugees from Ukraine. That is a special group. Germany took in a lot of Ukrainian refugees after Russia's full-scale invasion.
1 million people, actually.
Exactly. And Germany has some 84 million inhabitants. It's Europe's largest economy. Why is a country like Germany struggling?
Well, because people more and more feeling that they are overwhelmed. Is that really a fact? We don't know. I mean, economically, Germany could afford to house these people, but the population, that is, you can read that in the polls, is no longer willing to accept migrants of all sorts. This is not only a trend in Germany, it's also a trend in Europe, not in every European country. Especially in the southern countries, the acceptance of migrants is higher than in the middle, in Germany, for example, or in the Netherlands or Poland. But this is a trend. The feeling is there that we are overwhelmed, and that's why politicians feel forced to do something. And this is also true on the European level. I mean, for maybe 10 years now, the EU is deliberating to find a new system, stricter rules, to bring down the numbers. This is the aim, actually, to bring down the numbers. Everybody agrees on that. But how to do that is still in the making. We have some attempts to have a new asylum pact, a new asylum system, which will only be applicable for a minority of these people. We can explain that if you want, but this is not the solution that the new government in Germany is aiming at. It's not keeping everybody out of Germany. Germany is still the main target, if you want to say, of migration and so-called irregular migration. And by the way, irregular is necessary because the only way you can get into Europe as a migrant without a visa is to go irregular, to claim your right for asylum. So this is also a contradiction always in the system.
And David, what I find interesting is that there seems to be political consensus. If you hear things from the people negotiating the coalition agreement at the moment, what you're hearing is that one thing does seem to be clear already. Both those groups, the Conservatives and the Social Democrats, seem determined to bring the numbers down. That is now political consensus, right? Is that what we can expect to happen?
When we listen in to the coalition talks now, and I'm not there, but I can gather, is there certainly, there were some leaked papers and they show where there's agreement, there was not. And there's the principle of limiting irregular migration and limiting new arrivals is certainly something where the two parties or the future coalition government agrees that this is necessary. And they agree on a number of measures as well that they want to install in order to do that. So we'll certainly hear about more cooperation with third countries on increasing the number of return of denied asylum seekers. We hear about the temporary suspension for family reunification for those people who have not the traditional refugee status, but something that is called subsidiary protection. So this is also limiting a bit the number. And of course, also, expanding the measures to detain people whose deportation is pending, and also increase the power of federal police, which is actually the body responsible for doing those deportations. So this is something where we will certainly don't have such a big controversy between the partners. I think this is really on a different level, and we might go into that now. I don't know.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Where do they see different?
Well, So the central point of disagreement, in my sense, is the question, what happens at the German land border? And I said in my first introduction, in the first statement, there's the question is what happens at the German land border is not. It is a very symbolic question, and I think the Conservatives are under pressure to show signal some radical change in order to fulfill the promises that Merz made in the run up to the election. So it's about producing pictures and photos that speak to the public, that probably should, in the eye of the beholder, increase the feeling of control, because this is something that polls show that a lot of people in Germany feel that there's a loss of control. You can debate whether that's true or not, but that's certainly a feeling, especially among those people who voted for CDU/CSU. So the question is, what will we see at the land border? And I have to read that out, because in the paper that was leaked, it says that the rejection at the border should take place in coordination with our European partners. Now, there are different interpretations
in coordination, right?
Yeah, what that should actually mean. CDU says, that means we talk to them, and whether they agree or not, people will be rejected, even if they say
we will
I'm
inform
for
them
asylum.
Essentially.
Yeah. On the other hand, I'll finish the sentence. Then I'm curious to hear what you say. you know, the Social Democrats says, actually, we need bilateral agreements, which would be much more complicated.
Yeah, coordination is one thing, but overarching is still European law and the law that is applicable in Germany right now. The revolution is that the next chancellor to be, Mr. Merz, says we won't adhere to European rules anymore. We just would do it on our own. And this is legally very, very questionable, the reason he gives for that, because the EU rules are very clear on that. If a person apply or is just saying the word asylum, is seeking for an asylum procedure, you have to take him into the European asylum system and the procedures. Full stop. There's nothing to debate about that. You cannot return him just. If he's not saying asylum, you can return him. And the argument is always we have to protect the external borders of the EU so that at the borders inside the EU, nobody would show up. But this has not happened over the last 20 years. It's also very difficult because the core of the conflict has never been resolved. The countries of first entry at the external borders have no interest to keep all these people in their countries, and the countries in the middle, like Germany, have no interest to take them in. So this conflict is still there, and it's not resolved because there's no system to distribute migrants within the EU.
Hi, I'm Kate Laycock, host of DW's weekly European Current Affairs programme, Inside Europe. Our correspondents were there when the Berlin Wall fell, when the Balkans Wars broke out, and when Britain voted to leave the European Union. Now the continent is changing again, and we're rising to the challenge, bringing you a combination of expert analysis and on-the-ground reporting. Join us every Thursday.
And, of course, rules are there to create exemptions of those rules as well, right? I mean, I'm not being sarcastic here. There is a concrete case where countries on the eastern side of the European Union, Poland, Lithuania, and also Finland, they accuse Belarus and Russia for instrumentalizing migration. And they have actually got an exception. Yeah. From the European Union Commission, they say this is a state of emergency. We need to stop this flat-out blanco sheet for asylum seekers, anybody who comes and claims asylum. We can't let them in anymore. And funnily enough, the EU Commissioner said, yes, we agree, because these states are abusing migration movements as a means to destabilize nations here in Europe. So, David, I would really be interested in your opinion on this. What is the risk of Germany suddenly declaring a state of emergency and requesting a similar permission from the European Union Commission?
Well, it seems like the Conservatives are somewhat refraining from that option, because before the election, we heard, you know, this would be one option that we just call for a national state of emergency. And now we don't see that in the negotiation papers. So I think, you know, that also the Conservatives, they're of course also a party that holds up the rule of law. They know that given that the numbers are going down in Germany, there's no basis, really legal basis, for this argument that there's a state of emergency. So maybe I'm not a lawyer or a legal expert, but my understanding is that if Germany would, you know, follow this example, there would be EU courts that would probably restrict this option very quickly. But we don't know. This is not on the table right now. What's on the table right now is talking to the neighbors. And of course, when you talk to the neighbors, you won't get, you know, from every neighbor a yes. The good thing in the eyes of Friedrich Merz is probably that he has a lot of party friends from the conservative European party spectrum that govern our neighboring countries. So you could probably strike deals with let's say, in the Netherlands or potentially also France, maybe Denmark, which is not governed by conservatives, by social democrats. But with Poland, it's already much more difficult. You know, they said that they no longer participate in the Dublin system and suspend the right of asylum, as you said. And Austria, by the way, which is also very important for migration movements to Germany, they have a conservative government, and they also say we're not willing to to accept that, that you will just return people at the border. So I think this is going to be very tricky, and there's no easy fix, as Friedrich Merz somewhat suggested in the run-up to the election.
Good luck with the coordination, I can only say, because there are actually rules in place that govern this return of people at the border to others. There are systems in place, but they have never worked. They were not applied or not applied correctly. Only 20% of the people that have to leave a country are actually leaving. And this is also due to the negligence of neighboring countries not to take them back.
And Germany has a lot of neighboring countries.
How will you change that?
I think we
that,
do have to say that for anybody watching or listening who is not that familiar with European geography, Germany has 9 neighboring countries.
Yeah, they are all safe countries. So in theory, nobody should come actually to Germany because they should all stay there. But this is not happening. And these are the facts. You cannot just, disregard reality. And Austria will never agree to take all these people back. Because then what will happen when they are back in Austria the next day or in 3 days, they try again. And then you have a rotation of these people coming, or you oblige Austria to push them back to Italy. So you have the same situation at that border or back to Croatia or whatever. So this would, cause a lot of commotion within the European Union. And I suspect that maybe the new government cannot push that through.
Which is why some people are pushing. Sorry, David, did you want to add one thing?
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to add this. Actually, some people who are in favor of using that measure, they actually think, when they think this scenario through, they say, this is a good thing, because we're hoping for a domino effect where actually you have one country, Germany, rejecting people at the border, then Austria does the same thing. So,
like a trickle-down effect.
Yeah, trickle-down effect of stricter control of borders. And at the end, you will see numbers falling or people just staying in the first country of arrival, which is often Southern Europe, if they don't come from the East, and it would be Poland. But this is not very realistic in my eyes, but probably you agree.
The domino theory is nice, but you always have to ask, where's the last domino stone? Where would these people end up? In Greece? Outside of Greece? At the border to Turkey?
How much money would you have to pay other countries outside of the European Union?
Is a kind of a deterrence, so that people say we are not getting through anymore, so they stay where they actually come from. Maybe this is the hope. You produce bad images and deter people. That might be, a strategy.
Yeah. And some people are calling for even more drastic measures. So this week, the head of the German Agency for Migrants and Refugees, so he is a man who is directly steered by Germany's interior ministry, but he is from the Conservatives. He took to the stage and made quite a remarkable suggestion, essentially saying that the current system is inhumane and cynical and needs to be overhauled completely, because he argued that at the moment only the strongest get through, because the borders are already the rules are quite strict already, and it's young men who are not the most vulnerable who come into Europe. So let's listen to what Dr. Sommer said.
Responsible politicians realize when the tipping point has been reached. It has been reached. If our asylum system was restructured to focus on humanitarian admissions, any legal right to asylum or other protections would be dropped.
Auf sonstige Schutzrechte entfällt.
That sounds shocking at first, but isn't it that very right that makes it impossible to control migration?
So as always, the devil is in the detail. David, help us digest. What did Dr. Sommer suggest here? Why is that shocking?
Germany's basically playing a bit dangerous game in my eyes here, to question the whole logic of refugee protection. And what Mr. Sommer proposed was a completely different system. He said, let's scratch all rules on with regards to asylum on EU level. They can all be forgotten. Also, Geneva Convention that is there to protect refugees, which is a historical achievement, especially in a country given like Germany. This is something that is not up to date anymore. His idea was to limit all irregular arrivals and only go via humanitarian programs or resettlement, where you take vulnerable people from countries where there's a refugee crisis and you bring them to Germany or to the EU. And this way you can control much better who comes, because he says who comes is often the middle class who have enough money, and young men because they're strong enough. There's some, you know, empirical sense to what he says there. But in my eyes, his proposal is not as humane as it might sound. It's a very radical shift. If you say we don't want this asylum system anymore, this is basically scratching all the rules that were established over the last decades after the Second World War.
Dr. Sommer explicitly referred to Canada, and Ben, you actually, after we all heard this speech, you looked into this situation a bit. He said, okay, Canada is a very welcoming country, but they pick and choose and they have contingencies, and then they say, okay, well, we will give protection to a number of people. But the reality is also trickier than Dr. Sommer is suggesting, right?
Well, Canada has a very sophisticated system to take in skilled workers and people who want to migrate there. But Canada also has asylum rights and asylum procedure. When you come to the land border of Canada, which is only has a land border to the United States, then you can also apply for asylum, like in European states. So this is still possible. There are 250,000 cases pending, I guess, right now in Canada. So the right is still there. Why? Maybe there are more people now coming from Mexico through the United States to Canada, that I don't know. But the system is still there. They have not abolished the right to asylum. They have not left the Geneva Convention. But in Europe, there are, well, not only in Germany, there are also discussions in other member states, especially where there are right-wing parties in the government or very strong, if it is not a necessary step to bring forward a new asylum system and say, well, we cannot take them all, so let's choose and pick more than we did so far. There is not yet a majority for that in the Council of Ministers that has to decide about this. But the tendency is also there. And you can also see it in the actual steps that the Commission is taking.
The European Union Commission.
Yeah, the European Union says it should be possible also to have centers outside the EU where people can apply for asylum. A little bit similar to the system maybe of the US, so that the people have to apply before they enter the EU. This is not feasible now. There are some, you know, attempts by the Italian government to do that in Albania. It doesn't work so far because Italian courts say, no, this is not legal.
It's very risky. If the political situation changes in Albania, then what?
Yeah. And on the other side, they also want to establish detention centers actually at the border to push or to return people that have obviously no chance for asylum. This will also come with the new asylum system in 1 year's time. Let's see if that helps a little bit. But the tendency is clear to make it stricter and more difficult to get into the EU.
Yeah. And of course, we know that we have a lot of viewers and listeners in the United States and in Canada. Thank you very much, first of all, for following Berlin Briefing. If you've got any comments, make sure to join the conversation about how the US and Canada are dealing with migration. I bet there is a lot of points that you could add to our conversation here. You find us on all the typical podcast platforms. You can watch us on YouTube. And of course, there's also a weekly newsletter. I don't want to not mention that comes out every week on all things, also when it comes to the migration debate, but all things that are happening in Berlin and all the topics that are being discussed here. So make sure you join the conversation. But we've now discussed a lot of things that are very complicated, that seem very difficult to solve for politicians. At the same time, there is this feeling if the centrist politicians don't get their act together, if they don't deliver solutions, then they risk losing even more voters to the fringes. So maybe we can end on a sort of constructive note. David, I'd like to start with you. What would you recommend to Friedrich Merz's government when he's trying to bring those two together solve, deliver practical solutions, but not essentially risk just producing nice pictures?
Well, I would suggest that, you know, given that the numbers are decreasing, why don't stay course in a way? Of course, this is maybe, you know, doesn't produce the pictures that you're hoping for. But if you don't agree on the basics with your coalition partner, and this is that we are abiding to a system that was established over a long time and actually is a global system. If Germany doesn't abide to internationally agreed conventions and the European system of asylum, you know, this sends a wrong signal also to countries in the global south who are hosting a lot of refugees, for example. And I think, you know, holding course there and making sure that the reform you have on EU level, because it's a European question. You can't just nationally steer that, because as you mentioned, you know, we have the geography of Europe and Germany. We don't have the geography of Canada or even Australia, which is also an example and a point of reference of in this debate. Can't go into that anymore at this point of time. But, you know, we have this geography and you won't be able to reduce numbers to zero. And you won't be able to do it in a relatively humane way. And this is why you need to build trust on a EU level that there can be a system that is functioning. And this should be complemented by national measures as well, which is, you know, increasing regulations and also administrative procedures here in Germany, where there's a lot of room for improvement. And of course, you know, not to forget that migration can also be a positive thing.
Bernd, anything to add?
Well, what would I recommend? Well, if you really want to bring down the numbers, keep asylum seekers, irregular migrants at the external borders, that you can open up your own borders within the EU again. That requires building up Fortress Europe. Actually, there has to be a wall or something to keep these people out. And then the obligation of the countries at the border, Greece, Italy, Spain, France, Croatia, would be to process these. So if Mr. Merz, the new chancellor, can convince these countries to do that, then there would be a change. How do you convince them? Actually, with money. So it's a question who pays for that at the end, and good luck with that.
And how do you build a wall on a Greek island?
Well, the wall is actually already there. The land borders, Greece, Bulgaria, Croatia, Poland, they all have fences now. They are more or less closing. The sea border is, of course, a problem. So they would still come up the shores of Italy and Greece. So
you would have to strengthen obligation. Frontex.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just guessing what Mr. Merz is figuring out. I don't know. But if you want to have no migrants at the German borders, then you have to close the external borders. And that has to be done. I mean, they're trying that for many years now. Step by step, they're coming there. But if you want a radical change, then this should be the way.
I'm sure that we'll stay on this topic in future episodes, but for today, that's all we've got time for. So thanks very much for watching. Do join the conversation. Until next time.